are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Glad to have you back. Hope you're enjoying your work week and being very productive and, you know, trying to keep your mind off this year, 2020, and the train wreck it's been. But we're going to have some fun today on Locked On Spurs. It's going to be another fan episode, and we'll introduce our mystery fan rep in a few minutes. And we're going to have a game. We're going to be doing some blind box, blind questions, kind of rapid fire questions on a few topics regarding your San Antonio Spurs. How does the Spurs fan base react to these questions? And what does our fan rep, what does he have to say? What is his personal opinion on these topics? So in just a few minutes, we're going to be doing that. But before we do that, just get rid of some news and notes again, as we always do here in the offseason, here on Locked On Spurs. And perhaps the biggest one that was heard all around Spurs fan base yesterday was, who knew? The Mandalorian himself, the actor Pedro Pascal, is basically a Spurs fan. Who knew? Apparently, in an interview with Variety, he admitted that he did go to Spurs game as a kid if he got his homework done. His father would take him there, and you're wondering, well, why would he go to a Spurs game? Because he actually lived in San Antonio as a child after he and his family escaped Pinochet out in Chile. So who knew? The Mandalorian cheered for the Spurs back in the day. So another reason to go check out The Mandalorian when it does drop later this month. Also, some Spurs news and notes. Vegas has trotted out their 21 title odds for your San Antonio Spurs. And it should not come to a surprise that the Spurs pretty much have astronomical chances of winning the title, which is going to be one of the questions we're going to ask our mystery guest in a few seconds about the Spurs playoff chances. And you know, I get it. You know, in a top heavy Western Conference and the Spurs being invited to the bubble and, you know, fortunate to make the playoffs, you know, it's not too shocking that the Spurs odds are very low. I think it's like 300-1. So if you're a betting guy or woman and want to make some money and believe in your San Antonio Spurs, well, now's a chance. Take those odds and make yourself some bucks if the Spurs do actually make it all the way to the title. But yeah, maybe that is just likely not going to happen. Also, on some Spurs news and notes, yesterday on Locked On Spurs, we went over LaMarcus Aldridge's 2019-20 season, kind of a season recap, and gave out a grade from his extended three-point shooting to the fact that he is a big that right now slows down the offense. There was so much to talk about. Me and Two Shots Podcast, Joe Garcia, kind of broke it all down. It's there at the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Make sure to go there immediately. But when we get back, we're going to bring in our mystery fan rep and kind of hit him with some fast, rapid-fire Spurs questions. Hey everyone, I want to quickly talk to you about rockauto.com. Look, it's been in the business online for 20 plus years. It's your go-to place for all the car parts you'll ever need. Once again, rockauto.com. Best of all, the prices there are reliably low, and you're going to get the same price for the professionals and do-it-yourselfers like yourself, or maybe a professional. Look, reliably low prices. They got all the car parts, specifications, brands you need, whether it be for your car, vehicle, motorcycle, truck, it's all there at rockauto.com. You need a new brake lamp, they got it. Tail lamp, you got it. Carpet, they got it. Oil, they got it. It's all there at rockauto.com. And when you go to rockauto.com, make sure to let them know that we sent you. Just simply on their how did you hear about us section, right, Locked On NBA. And they'll know that we sent you. Once again, reliably low prices, all the car parts you'll ever need. Go to rockauto.com, your number one place for all your car parts. All right, let's go ahead and get this show on the road. Before we do that, this episode of Locked On Spurs is brought to you by Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com for an amazing selection and reliably low prices on all the car parts you'll ever need, rockauto.com. So who is repping the Spurs fan base today on this fan episode? You know him, you love him, Jonas Clark. Jonas, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. It's been a while, buddy.
It has, Jeff, but I'm glad to be here tonight. Really appreciate it.
Jonas, this is the way. Can you believe Mando is a Spurs fan?
That blew my mind. I was like, what? that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those little nuggets that was just tucked away in one of those interviews. And I read it, and I had to read it twice. No way. Did I read that right? Maybe. Because, you know, there is a San Antonio, Florida. There is a San Antonio in South America. I thought, well, maybe that's what it was. No, it was San Antonio, Texas, and he went to Spurs game. So if you kind of break it down, he was living in San Antonio as a kid, late 80s. Yeah, in early 90s. So that puts him around kind of what, pre-Tim Duncan era, right? You know, David Robinson is his high point. So he got to go to the Alamo Dome, Jonas.
That's so cool.
Imagine you could have been sitting next to you could have been sitting next to Mando at the Alamo Dome, and you just didn't know it.
Yeah, I mean, how cool?
Yeah. Well, one thing that's going to be really cool is hearing you and what you have to say as a fan rep and your opinion on a few topics. And look, full disclosure, Jonas kind of has an idea of what I'm going to be asking him, but he doesn't know the specific questions. So this is really going to get the pulse of the fan. This is really going to give us a feel of what Spurs fans are feeling right now in this offseason. So, Jonas, are you ready?
I'm a little nervous, but go ahead and bring it on, Jeff.
Okay, this is your first of five rapid-fire questions. So the first one is, do the Spurs fans believe this team, as presently constructed, can make the postseason next season? Yes or no?
Ooh. I'm gonna say no, Jeff. I don't think that Spurs fans believe this team can make the playoffs, and I think I'm gonna put myself in that category too.
Okay, why is that?
It's just a super young roster, and I think we already saw coming out of the bubble this year, where other teams in our kind of bracket are. And they're just a little bit further along, and there's still just so much uncertainty as to what this makeup is going to look like. I believe there's something like six guys that, you know, may or may not be on this roster next year just because of contract situations.
Sure.
One of them being DeMar DeRozan, who was your leading scorer all year. And he was also the guy who we deferred to a lot in the closing minutes for most of the season when we had it. So there's just so many question marks. Mm-hmm. What does this team look like without him, without Bryn Forbes and his 3-point support, without potentially, you know, these are all potentials, right?
Sure.
But potentially without Jakob Poeltl out there, even without Marco Bellinelli's leadership on the bench and just maybe his championship experience that he could help bring to this young team. Then you've got young guys like Drew Eubanks, who balled out in the NBA bubble, especially going up against the likes of Joel Embiid and the Joker and Rudy Gobert. You know, he did a very good job, and hey, that was a showcase event, and I don't know that Drew Eubanks even comes back to this team. So just too many question marks to go ahead and even bother. I don't want to put it in pen, but I think that, you know, that, no playoffs in pen, but I think that right now the San Antonio temperature, is kind of in line with me, Jeff, no playoffs for the Spurs in 2021.
All right, there you have it. Let's move on to question number two for Mr. Jonas Clark. And you can find, Jonas on Twitter at, Jarklonus. Did I get it right?
You did, at Jarklonus, JARKCLONAS.
Give him a follow right now. Question number two on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs. Here we go, Jonas. Are Spurs fans slowly giving up on Lonnie Walker?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I know that we see it floating around out there, especially on the Twitter sphere. But I think that, again, there's just so much we don't know about him yet, because even though he got more minutes this last year, I don't think that he quite got enough. Now, of course, there's a lot of veterans still on the team, so he obviously didn't crack maybe that tier. in just his second season. So I think that there's still high hopes for him. I don't think that, and I do think that his personal story helps give everybody a little bit more patience with him too, you know, that he came out and shared during the downtime for this year. But no, I don't think that we're quite giving up on him, but I think that the time will come quickly if we don't start to see consistent double-digit performances there around the 14-point range.
Yeah, you know, before we go to question three, you know, I want to add to that. I think a lot of the Spurs fan base really made a big deal about that game he had against Houston because he looked great, and I'm not knocking him at all. I mean, I think he has a lot of potential there, but outside of that one game, you really didn't see kind of a consistent play out of him. You didn't really see him do that again. They're too far and few between. And I ask you, Jonas, now, you know, you could take off the fan rep hat for a while. what is or who is Lonnie Walker? Is he an assist guy? Is he a fast break guy? Is he a rebounder and get the break going? I don't know what type of player Lonnie is. Is that a fair assessment?
I think so, because I think that we've seen Pop use him in so many different ways or try to use him in so many different ways. Where I think Lonnie Walker's strong suit is going to be, and this might sound – it might seem like a disappointment to a lot of the fan base out there because he is a first-round draft pick and such, but I think that he's really just your next sixth man. I think he's your 3-and-D off the bench because he's not – He can't run out there with Keldon and DeJounte and Derek because there's not enough touches to go around, right? In a starting rotation, and I'm going to go ahead and just promote Keldon to that starting rotation right now. So what you want, though, is to have a guy with Lonnie's ability and his energy coming off the bench. He can run, and he has the same bounce that DeJounte has. He has three-point range, and he's a great defender. That's the perfect guy to bring in off the bench when you're rotating. Maybe he comes in for DeJounte. You slide Derek over to the you can put whoever you want to at the one between the two of them, but he comes in right. And you take one of those guys out, and you don't lose anything really defensively. And then you just whoever it is that stayed on the court becomes the one and generates that offense. Yeah. And you just have that explosiveness that Lonnie can bring you. He's your sixth man.
I think that'd be a better role for him, to be honest. I think having that type of role for him where maybe he can lead a second unit, maybe he can be their go-to guy off that bench. I think he would embrace that. I think he really, really would. You know, because you have, at least right now, you still have DeMar DeRozan. We don't know what's going to happen with him. But, you know, just for argument's sake, you know, DeMar is still here. You have Keldon. You got DeJounte. You got Derek. You have LaMarcus. You have Rudy Gay still. So that type of starting unit is already crowded already. And I think you're just trying to force Lonnie in there. I mean, Derek definitely started quality. You know, Keldon, as of right now, for sure, starting in a material. LMA's going to get his. DeMar's going to get his, and then you're kind of like, okay, you know, how does Keldon fit in all this? And I think a second unit role for him would be great because I just don't know how to define him. What type of player is he? Is it a stretch to say next season he's got to prove something?
I think that the proof is really just going to have to come from consistency on some level, you know, and maybe that is kind of defining his role at that point. If he's going to be a distributor and be an assist guy, then be an assist guy. If he's going to be, you know, kind of where I feel he fits as that 3-and-D, then we really need to be able to see him lock down a top defender. Like for Pop to not feel like he needs to run to bring Derek or DeJounte back into the game and just go ahead and leave Lonnie out there. And if and from the three-point side, you want to see him shoot that a little bit more willingly. He is a really good three-point shooter. He's got great form. You could see it in the bubble a lot, too, when we distribute the ball and when we play Spurs basketball and get the passing, the ball movement going on. He's a great spot-up shooter, and he nailed some really important threes in some games there. And when you saw it in that Houston game too, it all started with that the corner three from the right side, and that just kind of got him clicking. And so I think that what we need to see, what we need from to learn about Lonnie is what he is and what he's going to be, and then just judge him consistently on whatever that role is supposed to be.
All right, there you have it. Let's go to move on to question number three, and I'm glad you mentioned the bubble. Big question here, Jonas. You can put on the fan rep hat now. Okay. Are Spurs fans making too much of just 8-game sample of these young guys?
No, I don't think so. This is the bubble is exactly, I think, what this team is supposed to be. Where it becomes a little bit more difficult to gauge is that you still have LaMarcus under contract through this season. That's a big guy who wasn't out there. Mm-hmm. Even Trey Lyles, another, he's a stretch four. He wasn't out there. So I don't think that we're being too high about the performance in the bubble. It definitely sets the bar to be able to contend and go out there every night. I think that at that with the bubble, we just kind of have to take into mind again that the players were off for 4 months. They got to rest up. They got to, you know, recover from their injuries. This gets said across sports, but everybody plays hurt, right? When by the time you get through a season, you've got something that's been bothering you the whole time, and you might just fight through it to get to the game. And it's a lot easier to do for 8 games, especially when you're coming off fresh. So whether we can maintain that is the next question. But I think that we saw that we have some good depth, what we were able to trust our young guys a little bit more. And DeMar fit. DeMar fit really well out there with this youth movement. And so I don't think we're making too much of it. But, again, it's just there's so many pieces that we don't know if they're coming back or not.
Right.
That can change whatever that looked like in the bubble. And we might not even have the opportunity to see that again, depending on who stays and who leaves.
Yeah. And you know, like if I'm just looking at the play from the young guys in the bubble, I'm the same way. I think, okay, great. You know, they look really well, you know, running, gunning, you know, you running up that court. The offense was flowing smooth. Keldon, Derek, everybody was looking great. But the other part of me is kind of like, you know, but can they do this for a regular season? Can they play at this high performance for at least next season, whatever, like 60 games maybe, if we're lucky? Can they do this game in, game out? I don't know if they can do that. The bubble was so structured. They didn't have to travel. They didn't have to, you know, go from city to city, back to backs. They, you know, played what, maybe every other day. It was such a vacation. It was basically a vacation, albeit, you know, a safe one for the coronavirus. But still, we don't know how this team will be, these young guys will be, in a real NBA season where there's travel and back-to-backs and injuries and not a controlled environment that we saw in the bubble. That's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm thinking, okay, well, are we making too much of this? I think it's a good blueprint. I think it's a good foundation, but I need to see if, you know, Derek can play this way. And we know he can for a season. You know, can Keldon do this? You know, Keldon had a breakout bubble series. Great, Keldon, good. Now do this for an entire season. No, well, let's see that. Now he's motivated. He's hungry from what I've been told from his camp that he's going into next season, you know, locked and loaded. But that is still a new season. That is travel, if they're going to travel. We don't know what the format of the NBA season is going to look like if the virus is still out there. So that's where I pause a bit. Now, what about you? You take off that Spurs fan rep hat. What does Jonas have to say? Does Jonas have some trepidation about these young guys and that maybe we're giving them too much shine right now?
No, putting my own hat back on, I think that we're still giving them enough shine, but correct me if I'm wrong. We won what, 6 games, I think, out of the 8?
Yeah, 6. Yeah, 5-2.
Okay, yeah, right. Okay, so five games out of.
Yeah, yeah. They dropped the last one, so I think. But anyway, go ahead.
So we're Gotcha. So we were right there around 5 of 8, 6 of 8. If you expand that out to a full season, I think that's it, especially if it does skew to the lower side, and I think it, when you factor in travel and, you know, having to deal with the other distractions in life, wear and tear on the body to where guys are going to have to take nights off or more prone to be injured, I think that's going to go down to about two out of every three games the Spurs could win.
Right.
And if you're only winning 2/3 of the game over the course of a season, you're right there around 50-ish wins. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit high still. When you factor just the wear and tear of a full season. So I think we do have to maybe look at it for the small sample size, what it was, but also be optimistic and say, when Pop needs to get those guys geared in, and especially if you look at a season like this one and go back a previous year and the guys went on a 9-game winning streak to push them into the playoffs for year number 21 or 22, I think it was. Mm-hmm. This shows you that the team can do that. They show you that they can get you 5 out of 8, mm-hmm, or 6 out of 8. And that's great to see, because I believe we dealt with a losing streak this last year where we lost about 6 or 7 straight, yeah, and we just couldn't find a way to snap it.
Yeah, the rodeo road trip was dumb. That was a disaster.
The rodeo road trip, we did it back last November.
Yeah.
To start the season, I think we started maybe 2-0, 3-0 or whatever, and then we go on a heavy losing streak and just kind of take ourselves out of it. But I think that one of the things in there too, Jeff, that you mentioned is – about how long a season is. Last year, this team did not have Keldon Johnson. And Keldon, he can only do so much on the court, but I think that it's really what he brings off the court, mm-hmm, and on the bench that makes that season a little bit more bearable for everybody. The team loves to talk about his positivity. He never stops smiling. He's always in there.
Right.
Engaged. And just uplifting of the team. And you can see that through his off-season workouts too, how hard this kid works. And I think that raises the bar for this team. And I think that he injects a little bit something else. So I'm really excited to see this team this next year. But and that's where I don't think that we're wrong to get hyped and kind of have those similar expectations that we saw in the bubble, but we do have to look at the bubble for what it was.
Right.
At the same time.
All right, let's move on to question 4. And this question revolves around the draft. Do Spurs fans believe the team needs to draft for need or best available?
I think Spurs fans believe that they need to draft for best available.
All right, and why is that?
Because they're not sold on everybody on this roster at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned it earlier in an earlier question where are Spurs fans, you know, out on Lonnie Walker? And we're already – the fact that we're already having that conversation just in, mm-hmm, year two and technically year 1.5, because he spent the first half of his rookie year in Austin the entire time, and then only had limited minutes when he came up in the second half of that season – the fact that we're having the and DeJounte,
exactly. Remember the
Twitter
remember,
and the Spurs, yep, fan base is ready to start writing off and trading DeJounte Murray, in his first year back off of a torn ACL.
You remember the days where DeJounte was untouchable?
Yeah, I mean, and we were just getting a real taste of that too, right? And that was really supposed to be his breakout, his full starter year. No Tony to looking over his shoulder on the bench to go to as a safety net. It was supposed to be his just 2 years ago. But now you've got the fan base already ready to turn. So I think that right now Spurs fan base is looking at this draft and saying, we just need the best available, because outside of Kellen and Derek White, who do we have? And even Derek White hasn't quite shown his consistency to the level that he can be. We saw a new version of him in the bubble. Of course, we remember his playoff series already an entire postseason ago, against the Denver Nuggets. And so this last year, we kind of had up and down nights. There were nights where he scored maybe 10 points, distributed the ball a little bit. So we want to see him really take over like he did in the bubble. Shot 40% plus from three-point range. His pass game was on point, and the dude was our leading scorer, I think, through at least two or three games.
All right. Move on to the final question, and this revolves around – let me give you a good one here to close this one out. Okay. LaMarcus Aldridge. LaMarcus Aldridge is in his final contract season with the Spurs. Uh-huh. We discussed LaMarcus Aldridge in yesterday's Locked On Spurs, and I made the argument that he still has value, that he still provides this team with some punch on both ends of the court. Offensively, we know what he can do. Defensively, we know what he can do. He led the team in rebounds. He's one of the better shot blockers on the team. But we know that he holds down the offense. We saw that in the bubble. Mm-hmm. Should the Spurs trade him this season, or package him, or somehow, you know, get a deal for him now, knowing that he could walk after this season, or write him out right as last season, and hopefully the Spurs, you know, can shock the world or make the postseason? I mean, how do Spurs fans feel about LaMarcus Aldridge's what could be his final year in San Antonio?
Spurs fans are ready to get rid of him.
Okay.
That's where that sits, Jeff. They're tired of him because they want to see this game, our game, evolve into what it was in the bubble, and that is pace. That is that's defense. You know, Drew Eubanks was great in the paint in terms of boards and stuff like that, but his box out, even when he was undersized against a lot of those fives, just tenacious. His motor is something I've written about before, and it just doesn't stop. And so San Antonio, the Spurs fan base, is done with LaMarcus Aldridge. Now, putting my hat back on
for a
second, Jeff, I'm with you. He does provide value. And that's where I'm willing to give him a try. So I'm 1 foot out the door on LaMarcus. So whatever this mid-season looks like, I don't know how, you know, we don't have the next NBA calendar yet for for the 2020-2021 or maybe even just the 21 season. So whatever that halfway point is, though, whatever that trade deadline, you know, area is going to be on this schedule is what I'm going to give LaMarcus Aldridge to show me that he can do this. Because I think he's a piece we can really move at that deadline to somebody who's trying to contend. I don't think we're going to get a whole lot back for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'd rather get what I can out of him for half of a season and see if he can be motivated to run with these guys. And if he shows that he's got great pace and that he's picked up his defense and he's willing to shoot from three a little bit more to space that floor.
Which we saw last season.
We saw some of that last season, but I don't think we saw enough of him from range. He added it into his game at a rate that we hadn't seen before. But I want to see a little bit more of that. I don't think we need to have two guys down in the paint at all times. That kind of age in basketball is a little bit dated. And if we are going to bring Jakob Poeltl back on a contract, then he's the guy I want down there rebounding. Because he also just runs that pick and roll so well, and he does create space. He boxes out for DeJounte and for Derek and for DeMar who are driving, and he'll start clearing that lane for him really well. So that's where LaMarcus needs to have a little bit more of a perimeter role.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to see – I'll give him half of a season, and at that point I'm shipping him. And even if it comes down to a cut situation, maybe a releasing there at the midpoint, at least I got half of that year. I don't want to – there's some people out there that'll just say, cut him right now.
Yeah.
Well, we're still on the hook for that money regardless. Yeah. So if I can at least get half of a season for that paycheck, then I'm willing to take that over nothing.
Yeah, you know, yesterday, you know, I kind of looked at – I was a little bit more on the positive side for LMA. And just even the little things, when it comes to and ones, you know, he was the third best Spur to get those plays for San Antonio. His offensive rebounding spiked up a little bit this season. His turnover percentage went down a bit. We all know he's a mid-range guy, so that was pretty much consistent. But rebounding, he led the team, blocks, he was up there. When I get the pros and cons when it comes to LMA, his age, you know, his mid-range game, and that's about it. A little post-up, mid-range. A little post-up, mid-range. You can know it's almost predictable. But, you know, when all fans are looking at Jakob, and I know you're a big fan of Jakob, but there's, in my opinion, if you're looking at the two, there's more cons against Jakob versus LMA.
100%.
Jakob cannot do what LMA can do on the offensive end. Now, defensively, we know Jakob is great. But and I get it. He's a lot younger. What is he, 24 years old versus going into his 16th season in LaMarcus Aldridge. So, but if the Spurs can utilize him in his final season, great. And that'll help. But there's also come to a point, too, for him, Jonas, is he's seen his NBA career wind down already. You know, he doesn't have a ring. You know, what if he tells the Spurs, hey, you know, get me out of here. I want to at least have a legit shot at a ring versus being in a rebuild mode. You think it'll come to that with LMA?
I don't think that he'll ask for his way out to go to somewhere specific because he does just have that one more year. You know, he's I think he's a free agent at the end of this year, right, with no control by the team that he would go to. And the other reason that you really look at shipping a guy like LaMarcus now too is he's already come out and said that he wants to finish his career in Portland.
Yeah.
And whether Portland wants him or not is another question because their window is open, but it's also kind of closing pretty quick as well. And we've already seen that there's only so much that Dame can do by himself. And I don't know that a LaMarcus Aldridge really makes Portland all that much better at his age. And so that's where I don't think that he's going to try to force his way out.
Yeah.
I think he's willing to take a paycheck and stay here and just work and you know, show up and do work. I think that he'd have a problem if we benched him. I don't know that you can give him Damari Carroll treatment and expect him to just kind of hang out and collect a paycheck.
But the thing about it, Jonas, that, you know, we know that playing style wise, DeMar and LaMarcus don't mesh well.
Right.
And it would behoove one of those guys to come off the bench. It really would. So they can run their own show, if you will, leading that second unit. But I don't think they would want that role.
I don't think LaMarcus would, but I really believe that DeMar is kind of finding himself in his career where I think that he could take a leadership role, and I think that he would. I don't think that he would come off the bench every night. He'd still want starting minutes. But if he can feel comfortable in San Antonio with this youth, I think that the bubble really energized him, being around a lot of those young guys, which is what we saw, the same version of DeMar that you saw up in Toronto when he was there with a bunch of young guys. Who like to run the floor. I think he gets frustrated with LaMarcus out there too because he slows the game down. DeMar wants to go down there, score a basket, get back down there, play not great defense, but we have great defenders around him, and then just kind of keep that pace going. I think that's something that he thrives off of. And I think that he could kind of see himself at this point because he himself is, I think, 31 – going on to 32 years old. So he understands that he's up there as well. So if he opts back in, and even if he goes somewhere else, I think that he's kind of looking at a bench role regardless.
Yeah, I mean, he could be facing that point of his career right now. But, hey, you know, because what last season, I was weird, but, I mean, he was an all-star. He got that honor. Last year he wasn't. But – yeah, just look at him. He's still a productive player, regardless of age. And he puts up points. He gives you defensive numbers. He does the little things. He's expanded his game to the three-point line.
He distributes better than he has at any point in his career.
Yep. And you know, from what we can tell in the little that he shared, you know, he's trying to slim down. Maybe he saw what happened in the bubble and says, you know, I got to get a little faster in my old legs here and shed some weight. Who knows? Yeah. But we shall see. All right. He is off the hot seat and Jonas can take a deep breath and relax now. But when we get back,
get a cold bath.
Yeah, exactly. When we get back, we're going to put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs and touch on a few more topics about your silver and black. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about BuiltBar.com. You want to go to BuiltBar.com right now for some of the best tasting protein bars ever. 18 amazing flavors, 6 new flavors, 12 new original flavors, that is, from double chocolate to carrot cake. They have it all at BuiltBar.com. They're healthy. They're great for the health conscious person. Low calorie, low sugar, high fiber, high protein. Great for the keto diet. Again, go to BuiltBar.com right now. Let's take a sample right now. So we'll go with coconut almond. Okay, fine. You crack that baby up. What are you getting? 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. I know. All that packed into a very delicious tasting protein bar. It really does taste like a candy. Right now, you can go to BuiltBar.com. Get yourself a free cooler with a purchase while supplies last. And when you do go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you get yourself 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. We are back, and I am joined by Jonas Clark. Jonas, you know, it's been a long time since you've been here on Locked On Spurs. I'm sorry about that, buddy. You know, things get in the way. But now that you're back here, now's your chance to take the mic and tell Spurs fans your opinion about the San Antonio Spurs, whether it be to make them keep their chin up or maybe warn them that, hey, it's going to be a little slow in this new phase of the Spurs chapter. Take it away, Jonas.
All right, Jeff. Well, I am glad to be back again. Thank you. I really appreciate it. You know, we all have stuff going on. But I'm going to say both of those things that you just mentioned there. Mm-hmm. Keep your, you know, be ready for it, because this is not going to be easy. You've seen it that across the NBA, when you go on a heavy youth roster, you don't really make the playoffs. And if you do, you're a quick out. But at the same time, keep your chin up, because there is so much coming down the pipeline for this team, and you've already got some of the core guys buying in to what we've done here and what they've built from a roster standpoint. And, you know, DeJounte signing his extension last year, Lonnie's, you know, getting picked up another year. And I think that this is going to be a really important offseason to see how much guys want to come back. You know, does Bryn Forbes allow the Spurs to bring him back on a team-friendly deal, or does he go off and try to get paid for being a three-point specialist in the NBA in 2021, which is a hot commodity if you can find one? Does Jakob Poeltl come back? Does he think that he got the increased usage and role on this team in the bubble? And what does that look like when Trey Lyles comes back into the mix, and when the Marcus Aldridge comes back into the mix? But this is one of those things to just really be patient with. And we saw a little bit, and remember, that's just a taste of everything that we have yet to come. Keldon Johnson was the immediate win of this last draft. But Luka Šamanić is arguably the biggest piece because of what he brings to this team in the NBA today. He made major strides in Austin last year. You saw him come out for limited minutes during the bubble, and then that last game, I think he put up something like 16 points. He's grasping the game a little bit more. And when he can make it to the next level, and then you have this group of guys who all went through the same growing experience, the same learning experience, in the bubble, 9 of the 16 guys, because Trey Lyles was hurt, 9 of the 16 guys there all spent time in Austin. So they come from the same background. They all got that Spurs Kool-Aid from an early point of, you know, wait your time, be patient. This is about team basketball. You have to learn the system. And Luka's getting another dose. And once he comes up there, he's going to come up with a Keldon who's already confident in himself at the NBA level and hitting his stride. A DeJounte Murray who's already an entire season and a half past that ACL injury. And a Derek White who hopefully will have embraced his role as being the leader of this team, that when we go through a slump, we're going to lean on him a little bit more, either to distribute or just go ahead and score, look to score first. So there's a lot to be really excited about this team. Unfortunately, it's not quite yet, but don't blow it up. Don't blow it up. Don't cry for trades. Don't attack DeJounte Murray.
That's coming. You know that already. If they go on a 4 or 5 game losing streak, they're going to say blow it up. You can see it already.
I get that. But there's not. You don't get anything. And Jeff, I grew up a Browns fan. I am a Browns fan, right? Die hard. We've gone through 30 quarterbacks in the last 20 years since the franchise came back. We've gone through coaches and GMs and running backs and receivers and coordinators and everything. Not lack of continuity is a horrible thing. A horrible thing. If you are willing to start a process and see it through, then you get a real accurate representation of what you got. Philadelphia really thinks that they're, and they might be, a legitimate piece, a little bit legitimate contender in the East yet. They've trusted their process. Now, if they're going to keep Simmons or keep Embiid, and if they decide to break it up, you know, that's kind of a thing right now. But they're further down the road and kind of seeing that it's not working. We're just now starting this project.
Exactly. Just and now. You gotta let the Spurs fan base know exactly that it's just the beginning. The bubble was just the beginning. That was just 8 games. And there's going to be growing pains. And, they're going to lose a string of games next season. Get ready for that. But as long as every game is positive, they're learning, and they can put that together and build on it, I think that's what Spurs fans should be really enjoying next season. Jonas, you know, you also cover the Austin Spurs, and how tough was it to see Fields leave and who else, Blake Ahern leave? I mean, this Austin team could look different too next season.
This Austin team will most definitely look different, obviously from the front office standpoint. And it just shows that what we have going in Austin with this organization is a really good thing, because you see the development of our guys coming out of Austin, and other teams want a piece of that. They see how we're putting together, how Landry Fields puts together a team and manages it from the top, and how Blake Ahern was developing these young guys. He came in 2018, won a title, and then has been a part of developing the careers of Derek White, Lonnie Walker, Keldon Johnson, Luka Šamanić, and Drew Eubanks, who came in as an undrafted free agent.
That's true.
Just 2 years ago. And so, obviously, the Grizzlies, a super young team, wanted to bring him in. And he's out the end of their bench, but his focus is on the development side of things for their team. And Landry Fields being an AGM in Atlanta, another team starting to come up with a lot of young guys. And so what's going on in Austin has been fantastic. Now, how do we replace those guys?
Yeah, that's the ticket right there.
And, of course, with the G League, and I actually just wrote about this the other day, and with the G League, it's all one-year contracts. Unless they're the two-way guys or guys on assignment, everything else is just a 1 year. So now with a new coach coming in, potentially, unless they promote Pitar, mm-hmm. who was the assistant coach last year, and he might have his own kind of formula for what they want to do. You know, who comes into this team via the draft this year, if the 11th pick overall goes and spends any time in Austin at all, do they build around him and try to get him to develop? Because that's why all those kind of deals are 1 year. I think that it's a great opportunity to not only develop guys for your system, but to put the right pieces around your young picks and help them develop faster for the NBA level. And so there's a lot of guys that we want to bring back. I don't know who all they're going to bring back, but it will definitely be a different team in Austin next
week. Yeah, a couple of guys really went overseas. Hamas, I think he's playing in Italy now. And
Deidre Blossom is playing in China or Korea, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, so some guys left. And I bring up the Austin team because of the pipeline that has been good for the San Antonio club. You mentioned, you know, Derek White, and you mentioned Eubanks. And they're going to continue that pipeline of bringing some quality players. And, you know, they need to, you know, replace some big shoes out there. So, I mean, but I think Blake Ahern is a big loss. I think Landry Fields is a big loss. Benefit to the Hawks, benefit to the Grizzlies. Grizzlies are just turning into Austin Spurs, aren't they? I mean, it feels like they're just getting everything Austin Spurs over there. But for everything you want to hear about and read about the Austin Spurs and much, much more, make sure to follow Jonas on Twitter. You can follow him at JarkClonas. I'll spell that out for you. It's at JarkClonas. Good follow. All things Spurs, all things Austin Spurs, all things nerd. He nerds it up with me every once in a while. yeah. Go follow him right now. I hope you do that. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at JeffGSpursZone. Speaking of the Spurs Zone, go there right now. News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Everything you need to know about your Spurs in this offseason. We're trying to keep you and your appetite satisfied for all things silver and black. And, yeah, go read what the Mandalorian had to say about growing up in San Antonio. Blew my mind. I'm a big nerd. Awesome. Everybody knows that. My mouth just dropped. Like, wait a minute, Mando lived in San Antonio and he went to Spurs games? Awesome. So I'll take that. But yeah, Jonas, thanks for hopping on Locked On Spurs. I appreciate your contributions, buddy.
Jeff, thank you very much for having me back on. I always love coming on here and spending it with you. And yeah, at any time, just holler.
I will do that. All right, so for Jonas, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.